You are not an orphan. 1 John 2:1, the Bible says, "My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." It's one of the words I used this morning, that word advocate. If you remember it, it actually means somebody that runs to your side. Somebody that runs to your side. The Greek word is paraclete. Now, it's translated comforter here in the book of John. Let me just point out, if you still have your Bibles open, they're all right close together. So go back to John chapter 14 if you closed them. But in John chapter 14, verse 26, the Bible says, "But the comforter, the paraclete, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." And so there in verse 26, the Greek word paraclete is translated comforter, comforter. In John 15, 26, the Bible says, again, this is Jesus talking, "But when the comforter, paraclete, is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." Then in John chapter 16, verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter," again, the word paraclete, "will not come unto you, but if I depart, I will send him unto you." Now, same word that we read in John 14, 16. "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter." Again, that's the word paraclete. Someone, or advocate, again, translated different times in different ways, but the same Greek word, paraclete, someone that runs to your side. Now, in verse 18, we read, "I will not leave you comfortless." Okay? Now, that is not the same word as paraclete. The Greek word there in verse 18, that is translated the first part of comfortless, that word comfort there, is the word orphanus. We get our word orphan from it. And what Jesus was saying, "I will not leave you an orphan. I will not leave you an orphan. I will send another paraclete, someone who will be by your side at all times." I don't need to tell you, when Jesus walked the face of the earth, he loved his disciples. He loved them. They traveled together. They ate together. They slept together. And Jesus took care of them. I mean, he made sure their needs were provided. He carried their burdens. He watched out for them and provided them their security. He taught them. Sometimes we think about God and we think about Jesus, and people picture him as serious. And he certainly was serious at times. I mean, he called out sin, and he didn't pull any punches. But I think that if we could look behind the scenes, the things that are maybe not recorded in the Word of God, and see Jesus as he interacted with his disciples, that they had a lot of fun together. They laughed together. They fellowshipped together. He was talking to them when he said in John chapter 14, very familiar passage of Scripture, the first three verses, where he said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And so they were together as they walked the face of the earth, as Jesus was here. And then he said, as he was about to leave them, "I'm going to go and prepare a place for you. I'm going to get it ready, and I'm going to come and get you, because we're going to be together again." Well, what about the time between when he left and when he came back, or when they died and when they went to be with him? Jesus said again in verse 18 of chapter John chapter 14, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I am not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm going to pray the Father that he'll give you another paraclete. He'll give you another advocate. He'll give you another that will run to your side. And that other that he gave us is the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to talk to you tonight about the Holy Spirit. I don't have any points tonight. You're not going to know when I'm about done because there's no one, two, three. I promise you we'll get done pretty close to when we're supposed to get done. But if you're saved tonight, and I think most of us are, if not all of us, if you're saved tonight, the Holy Spirit lives in you. The Holy Spirit lives in you. And here's the sad part. Many of us today have not said one word to the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine if you went a whole day and you didn't say one word to your wife? I mean, you were together. You were together a lot. Can you imagine how she would feel if you did not say one word to her? Can you imagine, men, if you spent time with your wife, spent the day with them, and she said not one word to you? Now, I know many of you want to say, I don't have to worry about that, preacher. I'm not going to say anything like that because my lovely wife is sitting back there listening to me. We've never gone a day where we haven't spoken, have we, babe? We speak a lot, right? Some of us speaks more than the other, but I'm not going to say who. But can you imagine? Can you imagine with your spouse going a whole day, spending time together, not saying one word to them? You see, I think many of us, even though Jesus told us, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, I think many of us are living like orphans because we're ignoring the one that he sent so that we wouldn't be orphans. We're ignoring the Holy Spirit. We know, if somebody asked us, we would say, oh, I'm a Christian. I'm indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit lives in me 24/7. He never leaves me nor forsakes me. He's always with me. And yet we fail to recognize that he is there. We fail to talk to him. We fail to acknowledge his presence. And we live like orphans. Jesus said, look, I've been by your side. I'm getting ready to leave. I'm going to send somebody else to be by your side. While I was here, I comforted you. Well, when he comes, he's going to comfort you. While I was here, I encouraged you. Well, when this other one comes that I'm going to send, he's going to encourage you. While I was here, I instructed you. Well, when he comes, he's going to take my place, and he's going to instruct you. In fact, he's going to remind you of everything that I've taught you. And so when I leave, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm going to send another to come and take my place. Now, we know the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost. They had spent 10 days in prayer, 120 people in the upper room, and they had spent 10 days in prayer. And the Holy Spirit came in the form of fiery tongues and a wind that moved through that building. And from that point on, the Holy Spirit has indwelt every Christian. Again, the moment you got saved, I mean, the Holy Spirit didn't wait until we became a more mature Christian. The Holy Spirit didn't wait until we started doing the things that we are supposed to do as a Christian. The moment we got saved, the Holy Spirit moved in, took up residence in you and in me, and he has never departed from us. He stays there forever. Now, if I have a point tonight, it's this. It's time we get acquainted with the one that lives with us. It's time that we acknowledge the Holy Spirit and quit living as if he doesn't exist. As a Christian, you have not spent one moment of your existence apart from the Holy Spirit. We as Christians still sin. Do you know when we sin, the Holy Spirit doesn't leave us? He doesn't leave us. When we get off the straight and narrow way, The Holy Spirit doesn't leave us. God said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Now, if he left us for a moment, that statement would not be true. If he left us for a minute, that statement would not be true. As a Christian, the Holy Spirit will never leave us. You remember David when he committed the sin with Bathsheba and then killed her husband. And he begs God. He said, God, please don't take your Holy Spirit away from me. Now again, back in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit came at different times, stayed for a while with different people. I think David experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit in those times. I think he recognized the presence of the Holy Spirit. I think it was the Holy Spirit that helped him write many of the songs that he wrote that we have in the book of Psalms. And yet he sinned. And he recognized the Holy Spirit had been in his life. And he says, God, please don't take him away forever. I still want the Holy Spirit to visit me. I still want the Holy Spirit to come. Again, one of the things, I had several people tell me last night. They came up and talked to me as I was sitting here. I didn't stand in the back. I just sat right there because I just wanted a minute to process everything that the Holy Spirit spoke to me about last night in the songs. And I had several people come up and say, what a friendly church you have. What a wonderful church you have. I felt so welcome. Can you imagine? Imagine, and some of you have shared this experience with me. Imagine going into a church, a visitor, your first time there, and nobody talks to you. Nobody greets you. Nobody shakes your hand. Nobody says good morning. They ignore you. Would you go back to that church? Probably not. And I think people come back here because that never happens to them. I mean, they get their hand shook 10, 20, 25 times. I mean, there's strange people hugging them. I mean, it happens over and over and over again. And yet, so many days in our life go by and we don't acknowledge the Holy Spirit. We live our lives as if he's not there. How do you think that makes him feel? When he's come to indwell us, when he's come to do the jobs that Jesus and God the Father gave him to do in our life, and we ignore him. We ignore him. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not just an influence in our life. He's just as much as part of the Godhead as God. I mean, think about it. Think about God the Father. What comes into your mind when I say the word God the Father? What comes into your mind when I say the Lord Jesus Christ? What comes into your mind? It ought to be the same thing when I say the Holy Spirit of God. We ought to be able to picture him in our mind just like we picture God the Father. I picture God the Father, an omnipotent God that sits on the throne. I read the verses in Revelation that describe the throne, describe the angels around that throne. And when I think of God the Father, I think of him sitting on the throne. When I think of Jesus Christ, I think of the cross. I think of what he did for me on the cross. I think of the empty tomb. I think of the time that he spent with his disciples. I can picture him in my mind. I ought to be able to picture in my mind the Holy Spirit, a friend that indwells me, a friend that never leaves me, a friend that is with me every moment of every day, that wants to work in and through me. And yet so many days, even and by the way, I'm preaching to myself tonight. You can just listen as I preach to myself. So many days in my life I live and I don't even acknowledge that the Holy Spirit exists. I ignore him. In James chapter 4, verse 5, the Bible says, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. Lusteth to envy. You see, God's given the Holy Spirit work to do in our life. Some of that work is to comfort us. So come, girls, hey, No talking when I'm preaching. The Holy Spirit is to comfort us. The Holy Spirit is to lead us. The Holy Spirit is to empower us. The Holy Spirit is to strengthen us. And when He sees us trying to do that ourselves, when He sees us trying to find that in some other place, He lusteth. And He says, that's my job. That's why I'm here. Don't do it yourself. Let me do it. Don't try to find those things some other place. Nobody else can do it better than I can. You can't do it better than I can. That's why I'm here. That's my job. Let me, please, please let me do my job. A teacher, a Sunday school teacher that teaches in their own strength and doesn't ask the Holy Spirit to help them. The Holy Spirit lusteth and says, hey, that's part of my job. Let me help you teach. As we are husbands and wives, part of the Holy Spirit's job is to help us be better husbands and be better wives. And when we don't call on Him to help us, when we don't let Him tell us, let Him help us, He lusteth. He said, that's part of my job. I want to help you be a better husband. I want to help you be a better wife. And we go read books by other men, and we go to seminars, and I'm not saying any of those things are bad, but I'm saying you have God that indwells in you, that wants to help you as you're a husband, as you're a wife, as you're a parent. He wants to help you, and He can do it better than anybody else. I mean, He was there. When Adam and Eve were joined as husband and wife, he's seen every marriage since the beginning of time. Who better to know how we ought to be as husbands? Who better to know than we how we ought to be as wives than the Holy Spirit? He says, "Let me do my job." Amen. Parents, part of the Holy Spirit's job is to help us be parents and grandparents. I mean, He wants to help us. He has what we need. He will give us what we need to be a good dad, a good mom, a good grandpa, a good grandma. And yet we turn to other sources, or we try to do it on our own, and the Holy Spirit lusts us and said, hey, that's why I'm here. I want to help you. Let me help you. Please, let me help you. Can you imagine as a mom or dad if your 9 or 10-year-old came to you and said, I don't need you anymore. I can take care of myself. I don't need your instruction. I don't need your encouragement. I don't need you. No smart kid in his right mind would ever say that. No smart kid that's even 29 or 30 would ever say that to their mom and dad. Some of them have been foolish and thought they could, you know, God gave us a mom and dad. And if your mom and dad is a Christian and they have the Holy Spirit living in them, there's no expiration date on being a parent. There isn't. Mom and dad can help you, even if you're 60 years old. If you still got your mom and dad, they can help you. And the Holy Spirit wants to help parents raise their children, interact with their children, interact with their grandchildren. The Holy Spirit wants to help us, and we try to do it on our own, and we ignore the power that we have that lives inside of us that wants to do it. And He says, I want to help you. Please let me do my job. When I was going to college, I preached up at Standish, a small church. We met in a house. The auditorium was the garage. And I can remember, it was the summertime. It's a good thing it was the summertime, because a lot of Sundays we'd have chairs sitting all the way from the front of the garage all the way out in the street. And there was a lady and her husband that went there, and they invited me home for dinner one Sunday after church. She had multiple cirrhosis, and she was in a wheelchair, and she couldn't do a lot of things. And so we enjoyed dinner, and then her husband said, you go ahead and visit with Mary, that was her name, and I'll take care of the dishes. I said, okay, I'll be happy to do that. So we went in the living room, and she said this. We talked for a while, but she said this. She said, you know what's the worst part of this disease? I said, no, I would have no idea. She says, it's not being in a wheelchair. It's not losing my ability to move. The worst part of this disease is that I cannot do for my husband what I want to do for him. I want to cook for him. And I have to sit in my wheelchair and watch other people come in and cook. I want to wash his clothes. And I have to sit in my wheelchair and watch other people come in and wash his clothes. I want to do a lot of things for him, and I can't do anything for him. That's my job. I want to do it, but I can't. I think that's the way the Holy Spirit feels about us sometimes. He wants to empower us. He wants to lead us. He wants to comfort us. And he says, you don't let me do my job. You don't even acknowledge that I'm here. You ignore me. I want to do so much. I want to work through you so much. Just, he says, you have a broken heart? Let me comfort you. That's my job. Are you lonely? Let me encourage you. That's my job. You don't know which way you ought to go? Let me lead you. That's my job. Amen. Jesus was getting ready to go back to heaven. So he gathered his disciples, the fishermen, the doubter. He said, look, I'm going to be leaving, but I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to ask the Father, and he'll send somebody to do in your life what I've done while I'm here. And again, the tragedy is that so many days of our lives as Christians, we live as orphans when we don't have to. We don't have to. Tonight, why don't we just say to the Holy Spirit, I've ignored you long enough. I haven't acknowledged your presence. I haven't let you do your job. But tonight, I'm going to change that. I'm going to acknowledge that you reside in me. I'm going to let you be my friend. I'm going to let you do my job, let you do your job through me. It's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. You know, we read over there the Israelites, and as they were going through the wilderness, and there's a verse, and I can't remember where it is. I could find it, tell you if you want to know where it is. But God was talking to him, and he said, 10 times you've limited me. There were 10 different times I wanted to do something. I wanted to bless you. I wanted to give you something. I wanted to take care of you in a special way. There were 10 different times that I wanted to do that, but you wouldn't let me. You wouldn't let me. You limited me. You put me in a box, and I couldn't be God. I wonder how many times the Holy Spirit would have to say, you've limited me. I wanted to work through you, but I couldn't. You wouldn't let me. Tonight, why don't we just say, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, just work through me. Amen. Work through me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you. You didn't leave us as orphans. That when Jesus left, he sent somebody to do the things that he had done for his disciples. Thank you. We have the Holy Spirit. Thank you. He never leaves us or forsakes us. Thank you that he wants to do so many things in our life. And I pray tonight, Father, that we would be a people that would let the Holy Spirit do his job. We'd acknowledge his presence. We'd allow him to move into every area of our life, and we would allow him to work through us. I pray tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't have the Holy Spirit because they've never received Christ, I pray that would be another motivation for them to come to Jesus. They need to come to get their sins forgiven. They need to come to get right with their God. But Father, help them to see that when they come, they also get part of you that moves in and begins to live in them. And so if there's even just one here tonight that's never asked Jesus to be their Savior, I pray you'd help them come and ask Jesus to cleanse them from their sin, dress them in his righteousness, make them right with their God. Just bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Help us to be obedient to what you say. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.